Chapter 29. Caesar, on returning to Rome, was angry because he had returned, and after some days was filled anew with a wish to visit Achaia. He even issued an edict in which he declared that his absence would be short, and that public affairs would not be exposed to detriment because of it. In company with Augustians, among whom was Vinicius, he repaired to the capital to make offerings to the gods for an auspicious journey. But on the second day, when he visited the temple of Vesta, an event took place which changed all his projects. Nero feared the gods, though he did not believe in them. He feared especially the mysterious Vesta, who filled him with such awe that at sight of the divinity and the sacred fire his hair rose on a sudden from terror, his teeth chattered, a shiver ran through his limbs, and he dropped into the arms of Vinicius, who happened there behind him. He was borne out of the temple at once, and conveyed to the Palatine, where he recovered soon, but did not leave the bed for that day. He declared, moreover, to the great astonishment of those present, that he deferred his journey, since the divinity had warned him secretly against haste. An hour later it was announced throughout Rome that Caesar, seeing the gloomy faces of the citizens, and moved by love for them, as a father for his children, would remain to share their lot and their pleasures. The people, rejoiced at this decision, and certain also that they would not miss games and a distribution of wheat, assembled in crowds before the gates of the Palatine, and raised shouts in honor of the divine Caesar, who interrupted the play at dice with which he was amusing himself with Augustians, and said, "Yes, there was need to defer the journey. Egypt, and predicted dominion over the Orient, cannot escape me. Hence A-C-H-tilde-A-2, will not be lost. I will give command, to cut through the isthmus of Corinth. I will rear such monuments in Egypt, that the pyramids will seem childish toys in comparison. I will have a sphinx built 7 times greater than that which is gazing into the desert outside Memphis. But I will command, that it have my face. Coming ages will speak only of that monument and of me. With thy verses thou hast reared a monument to thyself already, not 7, but 7 times greater than the pyramid of Cheops," said Petronius. "But with my song?" inquired Nero. "Ah, if men could only build for thee a statue, like that of Memnon, to call with thy voice at sunrise. For all ages to come the seas adjoining Egypt would swarm with ships in which crowds from the 3 parts of the world would be lost in listening to thy song." "Alas, who can do that?" said Nero. "But thou canst give command to cut out of basalt thyself driving a quadriga." "True, I will do that. Thou wilt bestow a gift on humanity. In Egypt one will marry the moon, who is now a widow, and I shall be a god really. And thou wilt give us stars for wives. We will make a new constellation, which will be called the constellation of Nero. But do thou marry Vitellius to the Nile, so that he may beget hippopotamuses. Give the desert to Tigellinus, he will be king of the jackals." "And what dost thou predestine to me?" inquired Vatinius. "Apis bless thee. Thou didst arrange such splendid games in Beneventum, that one cannot wish thee ill. Make a pair of boots for the Sphinx, whose paws must grow numb during night dews. After that thou will make sandals for the colossi which form the alleys before the temples. Each one will find there a fitting occupation. Domitius Afer, for example, will be treasurer, since he is known for his honesty. I am glad, Caesar, when thou art dreaming of Egypt, and I am saddened, because thou hast deferred thy plan of a journey. Thy mortal eye saw nothing, for the deity becomes invisible to whomever it wishes," said Nero. "Kay, know that when I was in the temple of Vesta she herself stood near me, and whispered in my ear, 'Defer the journey.'" That happened so unexpectedly, that I was terrified, though for such an evident care of the gods for me, I should be thankful. "We were all terrified," said Tigellinus, "and the Vestal Rubria fainted." "Rubria," said Nero, "what a snowy neck as he has. But she blushed at sight of the divine Caesar, true. I noticed that myself. That is wonderful. There is something divine in every vessel, and Rubria is very beautiful. Tell me, said he, after a moment's meditation, why people fear Vesta more than other gods. What does this mean? Though I am the chief priest, fear seized me today. I remember only that I was falling back, and should have dropped to the ground, had not someone supported me. Who was it? I, answered Vinicius. Oh, thou stern Mars! Why wert thou not in Beneventum? They told me that thou wert ill, and indeed thy face is changed. But I heard that Crown wished to kill thee? Is that true? It is, and he broke my arm, but I defended myself. With a broken arm? A certain barbarian helped me, he was stronger than Croton. Nero looked at him with astonishment. S stronger than Croton? Art thou jesting? Croton was the strongest of men, but now here is Syphax from Ethiopia. I tell thee, Caesar, what I saw with my own eyes. Where is that pearl? Has he not become king of Nemi? I cannot tell, Caesar. I lost sight of him. Thou knowest not even of what people he is? I had a broken arm, and could not inquire for him. Seek him, and find him for me. I will occupy myself with that, said Tigellinus. But Nero spoke further to Vinicius: I thank thee for having supported me. I might have broken my head by a fall. On a time thou wast a good companion, but campaigning and service with Corbulo have made thee wild in some way. One see thee rarely. How is that maiden too narrow in the hips, with whom thou wert in love, asked he after a while, and whom I took from Aulis for thee? Vinicius was confused, but Petronius came to his aid at that moment. I will lay a wager, Lord, said he, that he has forgotten. Dost thou see his confusion? Ask him how many of them there were since that time, and I will not give assurance of his power to answer. The Venetii are good soldiers, but still better gamecocks. They need whole flocks. Punish him for that, Lord, by not inviting him to the feast which Tigellinus promises to arrange in thy honor on the pond of Agrippa. I will not do that. I trust, Tigellinus, that flocks of beauty will not be lacking there. Could the graces be absent, where more will be present? Answered Tigellinus. Weariness tortures me, said Nero. I have remained in Rome at the will of the goddess, but I cannot endure the city. I will go to Annum. I am stifled in these narrow streets, amid these tumble-down houses, amid these alleys. Foul air flies even here to my house and my gardens. Oh, if an earthquake would destroy Rome, if some angry god would level it to the earth. I would show how a city should be built, which is the head of the world and my capital. Caesar, answered Tigellinus, thou sayest, if some angry god would destroy the city, apostrophe, is it so? It is. What then? But art thou not a god? Nero waved his hand with an expression of weariness, and said, we shall see thy work on the pond of Agrippa. Afterward I go to Antium. Ye are all little, hence do not understand, that I need immense things. Then he closed his eyes, giving to understand in that way, that he needed rest. In fact, the Augustians were beginning to depart. Petronius went out with Vinicius, and said to him, who art invited, then, to share in the amusement? Bronzebeard has renounced the journey, but he will be madder than ever. He has fixed himself in the city as in his own house. Try thou too, to find in these madnesses amusement and forgetfulness. Well, we have conquered the world, and have a right to amuse ourselves. Thou, Marcus, art a very comely fellow, and to that I ascribe in part the weakness which I have for thee. By the Ephesian Diana, if thou couldst see thy joined brows, and thy face in which the ancient blood of the Quirites is evident, others nearly looked like freedmen. True. Were it not for that mad religion, Lydia would be in thy house today. Attempt once more to prove to me that they are not enemies of life and mankind. They have acted well toward thee, hence thou mayst be grateful to them, but in thy place I should detest that religion, and seek pleasure where I could find it. Thou art a comely fellow, I repeat, and Rome is swarming with divorced women. I wonder only that all this does not torture thee yet. Who has told thee that it does not? It tortures me this long time, but I am not of thy years. Besides, I have other attachments which are lacking thee. I love books, thou hast no love for them. I love poetry, which annoys thee. I love pottery, gems, a multitude of things, at which thou dost not look. I have a pain in my loins, which thou hast not. And, finally, I have found Eunice, but thou hast found nothing similar. For me, it is pleasant in my house, among masterpieces. Of thee I can never make a man of aesthetic feeling. I know that in life I shall never find anything beyond what I have found. Thou thyself knowest, not that thou art hoping yet continually, and seeking. If death were to visit thee, with all thy courage and sadness, thou wouldst die with astonishment, that it was necessary to leave the world. But I should accept death as a necessity, with the conviction, that there is no fruit in the world which I have not tasted. I do not hurry, neither shall I loiter. I shall try merely to be joyful to the end. There are cheerful skeptics in the world. For me, the Stoics are fools. But Stoicism tempers men, at least, while thy Christians bring sadness into the world, which in life is the same as rain in nature. Dost thou know what I have learned? That during the festivities which Tigellinus will arrange at the pond of Agrippa, there will be lupinaria, and in them women from the first houses of Rome. Will there be not even one sufficiently beautiful to console thee? There will be maidens too, appearing in society for the first time as nymphs. Such is our Roman Caesardom. The air is mild already, the midday breeze will warm the water, and not bring pimples on naked bodies. And thou, Narcissus, know this, that there will not be one to refuse thee, not one, even though she be a Vestal Virgin. Vinicius began to strike his head with his palm, like a man occupied eternally with one thought. I should need luck, to find such a one. And who did this for thee, if not the Christians? But people whose standard is a cross cannot be different. Listen to me. Greece was beautiful, and created wisdom, we created power, and what, to thy thinking, can this teaching create? If thou know, explain, for, by Pollux, I cannot divine it. Thou art afraid, it seems, lest I become a Christian, said Vinicius, shrugging his shoulders. I am afraid, that thou hast spoiled life for thyself. If thou canst not be a Grecian, be a Roman, possess and enjoy. Our madnesses have a certain sense, for there is in them a kind of thought of our own. I despise Bronzebeard, because he is a Greek buffoon. If he held himself a Roman, I should recognize that he was right in permitting himself madness. Promise me that, if thou find some Christian on returning home, thou wilt show thy tongue to him. If he be Glaucus the physician, he will not wonder. Till we meet on the pond of Agrippa. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.